Before I dive into the text and the sermon here, I just want to share something that happened to me yesterday. And I guess it's a good reminder, it certainly is for me, and I trust that it is for you, to always be watching out for the temptation to use the Bible for our own selfish ends. I don't know if you've ever had a temptation along that line, but it's easily something that can happen to us, using the Bible for our own selfish purposes. And I really had to restrain myself yesterday. As I said, all week long I've been meditating on our gospel lesson here, and it's the lesson of the wheat and the tares, and they're growing together there. And around midday yesterday, Karen says to me, she says, you know, can you go out with me and pull some weeds from the flower garden? We have a little flower garden in the front of our home there, and she wanted me to help her and pull some of the weeds there. And I came really close to protesting doing this, okay? And I almost felt like saying, wait until the end of the age. Wait until the end of the age, lest we root up the flowers with the weeds. And who would want that, right? But I restrained myself. So this is a lesson in how not to use the Bible. Guys, you got that, right? How not to use the Bible. I do want to begin in Genesis, where we had the reading in Genesis 28, and I want to speak today about the ladder that we all need. You heard some of this from Alan. Verse 12 of 28, and he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached unto heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Up now. And behold, the Lord stood above it. In Hebrew, it better reads, the Lord stood right beside Jacob. And he said, I am the Lord thy God, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad unto the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this episode preserved for us in your sacred scripture. And we thank you for these episodes that we have in our lives where you reveal yourself to us. Help us, Lord God, to see in this imagery here its fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ, as the scripture says. And so help us, Lord God, to be those who are partakers of this God-given ladder that you have extended unto us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, of all the flood damage that has been around the last couple of weeks, I had the news on during the middle of the week last week, and I was watching a news report. It was covering the fact that there are just extensive areas all across New England where there are roads that are closed, roads that are out, roads that are blocked because there's debris, and some of it's debris that just came out of the streams, and some of it is just piled up junk that people have nowhere else to put it, so the roads are closed for those purposes. And so there are washed out culverts and bridges, and I didn't mean to open this sermon with something that struck so close to home to you guys, but the disaster that took place that hit Barry and Deanne's place, but these roads were closed all over the place, and just tremendous destruction. And the point was is that this news report ended up closing with a line that I have heard many, many times in my life. And it's a line which originates in old New England, And the line was this, as the reporter was kind of interviewing someone and he was observing these roads that were closed and blocked off and people couldn't travel on them. And the line was this, it says, you can't get there from here. You can't get there from here. And I guess that's an old line, and particularly in Maine, but all throughout New England. And that's not exactly hopeful advice when you're looking for directions, right? The old story goes that you're traveling through New England and you ask for direction and they tell you you can't get there from here. It doesn't help very much. But I wonder how much we realize that that is literally true. You can't get there from here. How much that is literally true. When without God we think about heaven. We can't get there from here. One of the things that continues to astound and amaze me in this modern secular culture that we have is somehow we've held on to the coattails of the Christianity whereby heaven is this virtual given. It's promised as a given to everybody and anybody. And there's no way that there is anybody who is going to end up possibly being denied entrance to heaven. And even the concept of heaven, that it would be retained in such a secular culture as ours. I do a lot of funerals. Some of them are for good Christian people, God's Christian people. Let's forget the good part of it, right? God's grace has blessed people. And some of it are for people who are not Christians at all. And yet there is a presumption that this person is in heaven. It's almost impossible that heaven would be denied to anyone. But the truth is, it is an impossible destination without God. An impossible destination. You can't get there from here without Him. The old world understood this. The old world understood these realities, and that's part and parcel of why this story is for us here in the Bible. The Bible communicates this knowledge that they had by showing us this God-given ladder. And it's a God-given ladder that all of us need, because we can't get there from here. Just as there is much that we cannot get to without a ladder, I mean, I have rain gutters. There are parts of this building and around your house. You can't get there without a ladder. But so much more so, we cannot get to heaven without this God-given ladder that He shows us in the scripture. Now, this first ladder that He shows us here is what's called Jacob's ladder in verse 12, right? And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder. A ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached unto the heaven. The angels were climbing up and down on it. Jacob's ladder. By the way, I'm not talking about, and this is not a prophecy about the exercise equipment that's known as in the same name. If you go to a gym, you might see that some of these people have what they call a Jacob's ladder. It's about 40 degrees, and you're kind of like an animal on a treadmill there, kind of just going up and climbing as the ladder goes around here. But Jacob in the Bible, the Jacob in the Hebrew language is Jacob. It's the same as name as James. It's the same name that I have. And it means heel grabber. It means deceiver. It means sinner. And Jacob, in a sense, represents all of us. Because God is known not only as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. If we're Jacobs, we should be thrilled that God is not ashamed to be referred to as the God of Jacob, because Jacob's very name means that he is a sinner. And so this ladder is for people like you. And this ladder is for people like me. People who can't get there from here. Which is all of mankind. God is not ashamed to be called the God of Jacob. And then there's this idea of a ladder here, and I don't know if you know this, but if we look at the Hebrew closely, we will know that Ladder comes from a Hebrew word, and it can mean stairway, of all things. And yes, if you were born about 100 years ago like me, you know that Stairway to Heaven remains one of the top rock and roll songs of all time. So is the Bible teaching that there is a stairway to heaven? And the answer is yes. Yes. But you cannot buy it. And that song lyric begins and ends. She's buying a stairway to heaven. You cannot buy this ladder. You cannot buy this stairway. But you know what? The song does get something else really, really right. Because the part of the lyrics of that song is, yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there is still time to change the road you're on. And so today, if you know nothing about this ladder, if you know nothing about this stairway, today is the day. Today is the day. This ladder can be yours. This ladder is your hope. This ladder is your only hope. So just so that you know where this is all heading here, this ladder is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our ladder. We can call him by other names. We can say that because the Hebrew is the same. We can say that he's a stairway. We can say that he's a bridge. We can say that he's a conduit. We can say that he's an ombudsman. We can say that he's a go-between. We can say he's a mediator. We can say he's an arbiter. We could say that he was a daysman. That's what Job called him. And Job longed for him. If we look at Job at 9 and 33, and Job wasn't able to discern this. Job's an Old Testament character here. Jesus hasn't come on the scene yet. And Job is just longing for this person to be this conduit, this mediator, this arbiter. Because Job understood that here I am, Job, and I'm not with God. There's me, and there's God. There's you, and there's God. And we can't get there from here without this daysman, this arbiter, this mediator, this go-between, this stairway, this ladder. Jesus is the way that you get there from here. The Bible makes this very clear. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible is even more specific about this idea that Jesus does function as this ladder. If we remember, let's go back to Genesis 28 and 12 and see that again. He dreamed that there was a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, you want to make sure that the ladder goes all the way up to heaven. You don't want something that's just going to take off, clean out the gutters at your house. You want to go to heaven, right? And this ladder reached the top of heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it, going up and down on it. And so now look at John 1 and 51. And this is the Gospel of John here. This is the very first chapter in John's Gospel. And he said unto him, truly, truly, I say unto you, you will see heaven open. All right. I don't know when the last time any of us saw really heaven open, right? And the angels of God ascending and descending, not on a ladder, but on the Son of Man. Jesus is here saying that he is the fulfillment of Jacob's ladder. He is. And the messengers, the angels, are going up and down on it. And by the way, Jacob goes up to the top and the Lord is right there by his side. In the very first chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus identifies himself. You need a ladder? I'm it. Jesus is now the ladder that bridges the gap and forms that messaging line of communication between earth and heaven, between men and God. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. Because Jesus is the ladder. The messages go up. The messages come back down. And ultimately, we go to heaven. On the back of the ladder. The back that had the flesh ripped off its back for us. We go to heaven on the back of Jesus. Without him, you can't get there from here. And so it's a little wonder that we read in John 14 and 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, getting back to Genesis here in our passage, looking at verse 13, what great hope Jacob receives here. In verse 13, we read, and it says, and behold, the Lord stood above it. As I mentioned earlier here, the Hebrew basically means that the Lord stood beside him. He was right there with him. And the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, remember Jacob was lying down, he went to sleep there, I will give you and to your offspring. This is a promise that Jacob, you know what? Things aren't going really too well for you right now. But I am giving you the very same promises that I gave your grandfather, Abraham. And I'm giving you the very same promises that I gave to your father, Isaac. Jacob needed this encouragement. They received the very same promises. Look at verse 14. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you, in your offspring, all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is great news. This is great encouragement for Jacob. How about what he receives by way of hearing in verse 15? Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And will bring you back into this land. Ever have to go on a dangerous journey? Are you on a dangerous journey right now? I will keep you. I will bless you. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Until God fulfills and finishes his promise. He promises to be with us. In the book of Philippians, it says that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Until the end of the age, he will perform it. This is great news. For sure, Jacob needs this hope. As from time to time, we need this kind of hope. That God will never leave us, never forsake us. And I want us to note here, if we were to widen out, we saw some of this last week, the whole context of the time in which this is taking place. Jacob is in a really, really tough spot here. He has nothing. Maybe you're in that state today. Maybe you feel like you have nothing. Jacob has nothing. He has no wife, no kids. And oh, by the way, remember his father and his grandfather, they ended up being promised all this offspring, like the lumber of the sea, the sand of the sea. Jacob, he's not even married yet. No wife, no kids, no land, no property, no job. That's where Jacob is right here. He has nothing. Well, he does have something. He knows that his brother wants to kill him. One of the more sure things that Jacob had in his life is that, you know what? My brother is out to kill me. I don't have a promise from anywhere else on earth that I'll get a job or that I'll have land or I'll have property or any of those things. But this I know, my brother wants to kill me. How do I know that? The prior chapter, 7 and 41. Now Esau hated Jacob. Maybe you have relatives who hate you. I have some relatives I'm not quite sure about. Some of them more sure than others. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. He gave him promises, but Jacob here has nothing.
And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. As soon as my father is dead, I'm going to get this guy. As soon as my father is dead, then I will kill my brother, Jacob. That's what Jacob had going for him. This is quite the turning point in Jacob's life. Verses 16 through 19. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he says, surely the Lord is in his place. I mean, what a wonderful blessing this was for Jacob at this very dark time when he is destitute. He's in this wilderness. He's traveling. He has nothing. He has the reminder about his fear and watching over his back. The Lord is in this place. I didn't know it. He said, how awesome is this place? How wonderful. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This ladder. This ladder is my portal, my way to heaven. Maybe what I'm about to say can help you kind of remember where Jacob was. And if we look here in verse 19, if we still have that up there. He called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Now, that's how you pronounce it in Hebrew. The name of the city was Luz. But you know what? It looks like Luz to me. Doesn't it look like Luz to you? And by the way, if I were to ask you this, who lives in Luz? What would you call somebody who lives in Luz? You call him a loser, right? That's where Jacob was. That's where what he felt like in his life. But God shows up there. And he shows him this vision of who God is and how God is going to bridge this gap and always be with him and bless him. And the name of the place becomes Bethel. You all know what Bethel means, right? The house of God. Bethel. El is God. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bethel, the house of God. Brothers and sisters, Troy can be the house of God. As we are in God. As we are aware of his presence, as we are on this ladder, Troy can be the house of God. Frederick Faber used to say that Jesus makes heaven wherever he is. Earth grows into heaven as we come to live and breathe in the atmosphere of the incarnation. Jesus makes heaven wherever he is. Think about that. Earth grows into heaven. This earthly existence with all its pain and suffering, earth grows into heaven as we come to live and breathe, as we realize and we breathe in by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we come to live and breathe in the atmosphere of the incarnation, meaning that Jesus has come to us. Jesus makes heaven wherever he is. And so lose. And losers become citizens and members of the household of God. Without this ladder, there is no hope. Alan read for us from Romans in chapter 8 and verses 12 through 14 here. So, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh. No, we live down here in the flesh. We have all kinds of problems. If we live according to the flesh, we will die. That is our destination. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are in his household. In verses 19 through 22, it talks about, this is true of us, but it's true of the whole of the creation. You know, when we pray say here on corporate prayer, we said, you know, God has appointed us to be priests, and you know what? God is transforming the whole world. And what we are doing here is impacting the whole city of Troy. I don't know when we're going to see this in its fruition. Look, I've been here 35 years. But this is the promise of God. And all of creation is groaning and waiting for this to take place, abiding in this hope. And it's given to us, we who abide in Bethel. We are brought into this household. Do you remember our gospel lesson from Matthew 13 and verse 30? Let both grow until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn. Does this sound like heaven is a guarantee for everybody? Does this sound like it makes sense that there should be this presumption that it's virtually impossible that anyone would ever be denied being in heaven? Does it sound like that? Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned? It doesn't sound like that. It doesn't sound like heaven is a given for all. By the way, when we look at the weeds there, we do learn from this verse that it says, gather the weeds first. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a premillennial dispensationalist and have to deal with this verse. You know, those are the guys who are saying, you know what? God's going to come, he's just going to miraculously rapture away his church. He's going to come first and take them first. His saints. He's going to remove them from all the horrors and all the awful things that are going to happen on the earth. That's what they teach, that's what they preach, but what do we read in this parable? Jesus says, leave them there, let them grow together, and at the end of the age, I'm going to send my reapers, and the reapers are going to do what? First, they're going to gather up those things that offend. They're going to gather up the weeds first, bind them into bundles to be burned. Later on that the grain is gathered into the barn. I wouldn't want to have to defend that other doctrine for those of you who are studying those sorts of things and been exposed to those sorts of teachings, so-called teachings. But the wheat here is gathered together. It's kind of like, again, if you worked on a farm, they have these things called grain elevators, and sometimes they're used for bundles and bales of hay. Jacob's ladder. If you've seen some of the truckload full of bales of hay, you can't get there from here without an elevator, without a ladder. The same idea is developed later on, and these are where the next verses come in, Aaron, verses 40 through 43. But just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. That's what's happening. The Son of Man will send his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all law breakers. Again, that whole idea seems like a priority, meaning the first thing that happens, throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then you have the word then, right? Following that, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Don't presume that heaven is a guarantee for all of humanity. You can't get there from here without Jesus Christ. Jesus is the ladder that we all need. And so if you find yourself having hope from heaven, hope for heaven, and hope out of the dismal conditions that perhaps your lives are in, trust in him. Without him, you can't get there. He's the ladder we need. All God's people said,
amen.
Father, Father God in heaven, we thank you for this simple gospel lesson here. Lord, I know that many of us here know this. Father, we ask that you would help us to be reminded of it such that we would never forget to be eternally grateful to you, and we would never presume that somehow we're walking a path of having earned anything before you. We certainly cannot take step one towards heaven without your help. And so we can't take step 1,000 or step 100,000. Thank you for your grace. Lord, as we be few in number here, give us more of your grace to confront the battles that we have. Help us to hear all the promises. And just as Jacob heard these promises, that you would bless him, that you would never leave him, that you would fulfill all the promises that you've made to him, help us, Lord, to have a steady diet of reviewing them for ourselves. Help us to know that truly God is good to Israel. Truly God is good to his people. Help us to sing it and to enjoy it. In Jesus' name, amen.